Now we move on to some analysis of what the psychological and political realities of an Obama presidency will mean for African Americans. Here with us is Dr. Alvin Poussant. He's a professor of psychiatry at Judge Baker Children's Center and Harvard Medical School in Boston. He just wrote the article, Win or Lose, How Will We Cope?, for the website TheRoot.com. And we've also got Ron Walters, professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland. He's also the author of Freedom Is Not Enough, Black Voters, Black Candidates, and American Presidential Politics. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good to be with you.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. Poussant, we just heard some voices talking about reaction to this election. And one of our bloggers, Sean Williams, said he thought Obama's victory would open up dialogue between people. Do you think that's true, and in what way?
Well, I think it will probably...
Dr. Poussant? I'm sorry. We're going to have to go on to you, Ron, because Dr. Poussant's in a little bit of a technical difficulty. What do you think about this whole issue of dialogue? Is it realistic to expect people to, you know, suddenly be more open with each other?
Well, Farah, I think so. I've been in several meetings, and I didn't really consider them important until I got outside the restaurant one night, and it was in an interracial group. We had just had dinner. And we had talked about race in a way that I have never heard blacks and whites talk about race before. It wasn't something that I don't think people recognize, but they used the terms black and white as easily as they used anything else. And I've said to myself, well, this is very different, because in a normal situation, these words would have evoked a bit of tension. People would have been afraid to sort of open up and talk. But the ease with which people are now able to talk about race. I've experienced this in two or three different settings, and I didn't pay any attention to it until now. I think that there is a possibility that it will enhance sort of the discussion about these vexing issues, and maybe even provide, at the end of the day, some understanding.
You have not only analyzed politics, you've also worked in politics. And what do you think about the disappointment factor that could occur? You know, this is kind of the day after, or the day after the day after moment, where people say, oh, but we want X, Y, and Z from this man, and how can he fulfill all of these things? How realistic are voters, in your experience, about the people who they elect, who they feel passionately about?
Well, there's a lot of lack of realism and heightened expectations. And I think part of what he was trying to do in his acceptance speech on the stage was that Obama was trying to carve out some realistic expectations for the American people. I was also on a conference call with him in which he was trying to do the same thing for African Americans. He was trying to say to a bunch of leaders, well, this is about you too, but what we've got to do is to get ready, go mobilize our community in order to get the result. But at the end of the day, I want you to know, you know, I'm with you. Now, that kind of speech was not being made publicly, and so I wonder, you know, so how that speech now is elevated to the point where other issues are going to be considered along with it. Or that issue is going to be considered along with the other very important issues that he's going to have to face.
Let me bring Dr. Poussant back into the conversation. We're talking about expectations, and what happens to people? I mean, there's so many joke emails going around, but one of them shows Obama supporters as zombies who just have nothing to do now. They can't figure out what to do now that their candidate has won. Can there be kind of a letdown after this moment of euphoria?
I think that there can be. There probably will be a letdown as it fades. But I think the whole message of Obama's victory is to inspire people to do more, not to let down, and to realize it's just not the presidency, but it's all of those things that they're concerned about from day to day in their local communities, where you need leadership, where you need people civically engaged in the community, where we're not going to, on a local level to change schools, to change the high school dropout rate, to reduce it below 50%, to have most of our students getting education, involves involvement and action and activism on a local level. That's true about health care as well. It's true about crime, that we still have those things to work on. There's no magic wand that Obama can wave to get rid of those types of problems that we face and continue to face in the black community. There still has to be a major effort. Of course, he can give us psychological support, and he can support policies around, you know, creating jobs and improving the educational system on a national level. But I think the hard work is still there in the community and really focuses on local leadership, but the participation of all people. And if any message comes through, it should be that we all should be activists on our own behalf, and that we can be successful if we try hard, and we still aren't going to get people handing us anything. That the hard work still remains.
Ron, when you think about the fact that so many new and non-traditional voters entered their first time in the ballot booth, whether it was people who were suspicious of politics, you know, I've heard about people in their mid-50s and certainly people who've been of voting age for a long time just saying, this is the first time I'm going to vote because I think it'll make a difference. You know, young voters, do you think that there are specific issues that people who came into this election for the first time might have in maintaining an enthusiasm, not just for voting this one time, but just voting in general?
Well, yes. I think that a lot of the people who came into this election for the first time came in on a wave of optimism about change in the future. And the question is, how do they define that? He tried to define change in a number of ways, talked about dealing with the Iraq War. And a whole generation of young people came into Howard Dean's campaign expecting and hoping that he would do something to ramp down the war. I think that expectation is still there. Barack Obama put forward a feasible program saying that if you are willing to invest in America through public service, then we will invest in you and try to help see that you get a higher education. So I think that the message that he has gotten out there is one that resonates very well with young people. It also resonates with older folk. I'm aware of the fact, for example, that this represents a long struggle of African Americans to achieve at least one goal, and that is to climb the heights of political system.
I have to get Dr. Poussaint in for one final thought, which is, do you, just you specifically as a person, think that this is the pinnacle? Is this going to change people's attitudes? Because you spend so much time looking at how attitudes affect people's reality. Will this make someone really say, I can do anything because there is a black president, or is that effect overstated?
I think that it's going to make a lot of young people, children, and even parents feel new hopes and possibilities for their children, and feel that with effort and engagement that they can make things better for their children educationally, health-wise, and even being good parents to them. Well, I think it gives them new hope and a new sense of self and a sense of feeling proud. And I think in that sense, it's good. He's a role model in that sense. But
well,
I think we
Dr.
can't
Poussaint.
Just sit back without participating.
All right. Dr. Poussaint, Ron, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We were talking to Ron Walters at the University of Maryland and Dr. Alvin Poussaint at Judge Baker Children's Center and Harvard Medical School in Boston.